Public hearing is change of zone number 1902, John C. Stamato and Kara Rivera Development LLC.
This is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from a CR1 commercial residential district to a HI1 heavy industrial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Georgetown 100, Sussex County, containing 15 acres more or less. The property is lying on the southeast corner of Lewis Georgian Highway, that's Route 9, and Steiner Road. The 911 address is not available. The tax parcel ID is District 135, Map 16, Parcel 23, and I should note it's a portion of that parcel. Staff would note for the record that we received a concept plan and exhibit book from the applicant. There's a staff analysis on file and the results from the Del Dot service level evaluation confirming that a TIS is not required. Thank you.
And there's also a letter regarding from Mr. Keith Steck regarding concerns with the application that was submitted and is now part of the record.
From who?
Keith Steck.
Mr. Steck.
These are the same complaints for every single one.
They were very similar complaints for all three applications.
That's if the county attorney hadn't reviewed it or something. Well, I haven't seen that.
It was handed in during the middle of meetings.
Here. I will take a look at that.
And the chair recognizes Mr. Fuquay.
No, I know. We need to get it on the record. That's fine.
That's fine.
Two things, first of all, before I start. First of all, if I was in your shoes and I saw me walk up here again, I would feel the same way you do. So I understand.
I'll just make this one observation. There's not a lot that comes out of Maryland government that's a good thing. But one thing that Conoco County Planning and Zoning does is they don't start a hearing after 10 o'clock. If they do not start a hearing after 10 o'clock.
But you'd be doing them every week.
I'm just saying. Okay, but if we did that, we'd never get done.
My second thing is just a procedural thing. I think there's two of these things here. Are these yours, or did somebody leave these?
I have no idea. We'll have to
check. I don't recall ever seeing. Are these like
the? I'll collect them at the end of the meeting.
Okay,
I think
all right. Over there.
If they're still there.
Yeah.
But they're not yours. For the record, again, my name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown. I represent the applicant, John Stamato, and Rivera Development LLC. With me are Mr. Stamato, he's seated behind me here.
There he is.
And Mark Davison of Pannoni Associates, Inc. An exhibit book was submitted for the record containing relevant information about the application, including an environmental assessment and public facilities report. And again, I know it's late, I know you've heard a lot of stuff. This application is a little bit different. There's actually some interesting things in this application, so hopefully I can keep you awake for a while.
Just real quick, can you just pull the microphones apart from each other? That way I think.
Oh, is that what's called?
I think some, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
This is an application requesting the rezoning of an undeveloped 15-acre parcel of land from CR1 commercial residential to HI1 heavy industrial. The land is located approximately 2 miles east of the town of Georgetown. It's near the intersection of Route 9 and Steiner Road, and it's approximately 800 feet south of Route 9 and has approximately 460 feet of frontage on the east side of Steiner Road, and it's a portion of the darker maroon there on the board. Janelle, can you put up the 2019 comp plan future land use map? I think it's the one all the way to the right, I think. Yeah, that's it. Thanks. As provided in the 2019 comp plan, the future land use plan, if you look on there, the town of Georgetown is the brown on the left. So the land's running east along Route 9 from the town of Georgetown. And Janelle, can you just show where Route 9 is just so everyone's oriented on there? So that the lands running east there are designated as being in the developing area, so that would be that tan area. And mixed in there are a few parcels that are red, and that's the commercial area. So coming out of Georgetown, it's the developing area up into Shingle Point Road. And then again, from Shingle Point Road east to Gravel Hill Road, you can see on the future land use map there that the lands are basically all in the commercial area. And the only exception to that is actually a 12-acre parcel on the north side of Route 9. That's that blue piece, and that is actually in the industrial area. So they're the future land use map designations. Our site is, as indicated on there, and it's just basically south on the south side of Route 9 from where the industrial parcel is. There's also a very large area adjacent to the town limits of Georgetown that is designated as being in the industrial area, and that is the location of the Delaware Coastal Airport and the Delaware Coastal Business Park, which is owned, of course, by Sussex County. The county's business park does add an interesting aspect to this application in that our requested HI rezoning could be viewed as creating potential competition with the county business park. So it's quite unusual to be in a situation where an applicant is actually asking a possible competitor for approval to compete with them.
Are you suggesting that the commission has a conflict of interest?
Of course not. I was just pointing out that it was interesting. However, you know, the real interest and the goal of Sussex County, as you know, and it's stated in the in economic development section of the comp plan, is to encourage economic development and job creation. It's always been the county's position and policy to encourage, not interfere with private enterprise. And in addition,
absolutely,
the county's business park is set up for lease sites, whereas this application would be creating sites that could be purchased in fee. And some businesses would, of course, prefer to have a purchase in fee rather than on a leasehold. And more importantly, the only issue before you tonight is purely the land use decision. And you're just, as you know, that's based on the law and the facts. So as to the existing zoning of the land in or around our site, and Janelle, if you can put that zoning, close-up zoning map. So this is just showing the area kind of on the Route 9 corridor between Shingle Point Road and Gravel Hill Road. As you can see, the lands on both the north and south sides of Route 9 are zoned C1, general commercial, and that basically is to a depth of 600 feet. The exceptions to that are the 12-acre parcel on the north side, which I already mentioned before, and that is zoned LI2 light industrial. And then the other exception is a 25-acre parcel with frontage on Steiner Road south of Route 9, and that's the kind of the maroon piece, and actually zoned CR1. So that obviously was zoned more recently than the other C1 pieces. Our 15 acres is part of the CR1 zone 25-acre parcel. The land being purchased, it's being purchased from Mr. and Mrs. Dale Parsons, who own a total of approximately 51 acres right there. 26 acres of what they owned is zone C1. Four 2-acre lots have been carved out of that, subdivided out of that. They front on Route 9. And then the rear of that land is a 25-acre parcel that's zoned CR1, and our 15 acres is the rear portion of the CR1 zone land. As I said, it has frontage on Steiner Road about 460 feet, and then it has a width of approximately 1,600 feet. Again, our application is requesting rezoning of that parcel to HI1, heavy industrial. To the best of my knowledge, heavy industrial requests presented to you are a fairly rare application. So I do want to just briefly explain the purpose of that zoning district. The HI1 is a district is set forth in section 115-109 of the zoning ordinance. The purpose of that HI1 district is to provide for a variety of industrial uses, but to restrict or prohibit industries which have characteristics likely to produce serious and adverse effects. So the uses permitted by right include any use permitted in the LI2 light industrial district, and also a specific list of uses that is found in the zoning ordinance in section 115, 110, A, B, and C. And again, I would just refer those sections to you if you want to review what those permitted uses are. Again, the HI1 district has a protective provision that requires that any potentially hazardous use can only be permitted after a public hearing and approval by the Board of Adjustment. And the Board of Adjustment is required not to permit such a use unless the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare are properly protected and that necessary safeguards are provided for the protection of water areas and surrounding property and people. And then there's a list of potentially hazardous uses that are listed in section 115-111 of the ordinance. The point is this, while there's a variety of industrial operations permitted in the HI1 district, any type of use that's deemed potentially hazard has much more a review level to it, requiring a public hearing before the Board of Adjustment. If you have any questions about the HI1 district, I would refer you to the director or to your attorney, who are very familiar with this district, since they and I were recently involved in a controversy involving the H1 district, and believe it or not, we were all on the same side.
Our
application tonight is a rezoning application. There is no specific use being proposed for the site at this time, only the rezoning to HI1. And as you know, even if there was a specific planned use for the property, once the land is rezoned, any use permitted by the zoning code would be permitted on that land. So the issue before the commission is not a specific use, but whether this particular 15-acre parcel of land is appropriate for HI1 zoning. The applicant believes it is for a number of substantial reasons. As shown, and as I just was discussing, the site is surrounded by land zone C1, CR1, and LI2. An extensive list of retail, storage, and commercial uses are already permitted uses in the area surrounding the site and actually on the site itself. Number two, as far as the nature of the area, in those lands that are zoned commercial, I usually associate commercial land with retail and office, but the actual nature of the majority of the uses in this area are somewhat of a much more intense type of commercial use, a lot of construction or semi-industrial almost type of uses. This is the area map to show it's, you know, showing the uses in the area. I don't know if you can see the detail in there, but in the immediate vicinity of this site are the business locations of McGee Plumbing and Heating, AP Kroll and Sons, Peninsula Paving, the Route 9 Industrial Center. Down to the east is the Gravel Hill Yard, Del Dutt Yard, and that's kind of a flavor of the types of commercial uses that are here, unlike the more retail type, office type thing. The third point, the site has convenient access to Route 9. Again, when Steiner Road just connects right to Route 9. That's significant because under Section 99.5 of the Sussex County Subdivision Ordinance, that section identifies the major arterial roadways in Sussex County. And Route 9 is the only major arterial roadway running east-west direction in all of eastern Sussex County, you know, per the county's subdivision ordinance. So that is significant for transportation, and that gets me to the fourth point, and this is the most important point. The 15-acre parcel is adjacent to and has 1,600 feet of frontage along the railroad line operated by the Delmarva Central Railroad. The rail line itself has an interesting history. It was originally operated as the Queen Anne's Railroad. It started operations in 1894, and it provided service between Queenstown, Maryland, and Lewis, Delaware. Over the years, there were a number of changes in ownership and changes in operation. And as of 2016, the rail service was being operated by the Delaware Coastline Railroad, and it provided rail service to the SPI Pharma facility that was right at the end of the line, right next to the entrance to Cape Henlopen State Park at Lewis, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. And if you read the Cape Gazette, you'd be well informed on this. But as a result of some inspections by DelDOT, in September 2016, the swing bridge that actually provided the track crossing over the Lewis and Rehoboth Canal was determined to be structurally unsound, and that was closed to rail traffic by DelDOT. The swing bridge was a bridge originally built in 1869. It was unique in that the bridge was located, when it was closed, parallel to the canal, and it was manually cranked out So it would extend across the canal and connect the tracks on the north and the south side. And I'm not talking about 100 years ago. I'm talking about 4 years ago. There's actually a video on YouTube showing two guys pushing this thing around to crank the swing bridge out. However, that will be no longer because after closure of the bridge, the Farmers Company began shipping by truck. DelDOT determined that the repairs to the bridge were too costly, and since there was no need for service into Lewis, the entire railroad line from the entrance to Cape Henlopen State Park all the way out to Cool Springs was discontinued and abandoned as a railroad line. Now, fortunately, that railroad right-of-way was incorporated into the Lewis to Georgetown Rails to Trails project. A paved pedestrian bike path now exists from the state park almost to Route 9 near Cool Springs, and that trail will eventually extend all the way to Georgetown. In January of last year, about a year ago, Delmarva Central Railroad took over operations of the rail rail under contract from the state of Delaware, and that includes the track from Georgetown to Cool Springs, which remains open and operating. The Delmarva Central Railroad is what's called a short line, but it interchanges with the Norfolk Southern Railway and the Maryland-Delaware Railway for more extensive service if needed. Products carried by the rails include grain, propane, building materials, bulk products, and I believe occasionally coal to the Indian River Power Plant, or it used to anyway. Now, I took the time to explain that history because the rail service is a vital part of this rezoning application. Our application focuses on planning for the future by creating a 15-acre site zoned HI-1 with transportation options of using Route 9 for truck traffic and Delmarva Central Railroad for rail service. As to the parcel itself, it's planned to subdivide the parcel, as you can see there, into three parcels containing approximately 4.5 acres each. Discussions have taken place between the applicant and Delmarva Central Railroad to create a 50-foot wide railway access easement across the rear of the property for location of a spur track from the main track to serve the three parcels. Artesian Water has a water line on Route 9, which will be extended to the site to provide for central water for domestic use and fire protection. Artesian Resources also will be providing central sewer to the site. An ability to serve letter from Artesian is in the file. DelDOT indicated in their letter dated July 29th of last year that the rezoning application be considered without a traffic impact study at this time, and that they reserve the right to determine if a need for a TIS would be required, and they would evaluate that when a specific land development plan is proposed. The applicant does anticipate that the entrance approvals for the site will require intersection improvements at Route 9 and Steiner Road, and some roadway improvements on Steiner Road. Stormwater management facilities, of course, would be designed and constructed in accordance with DENREC regulations. There was an environmental assessment report that was prepared by Pannoni Associates reviewing the environmental and physical site conditions. That copy of that is in the exhibit book. Among the findings in the report were that the site soils were suitable for the uses being considered, that there were no wetlands located on the site, and the site was located in a Zone X under the FEMA flood maps outside of the designated floodplains. So as I mentioned, the only question before the commission tonight is the rezoning of the property to HI-1. If the rezoning is approved, the plans for any future development of these parcels would be back before the commission for preliminary and final site plan review. So in conclusion, our application is a rezoning request, but it's also really a planning request. The Delmarva Central Railroad running from Georgetown to Cool Springs is the last remaining rail line extending into eastern Sussex County. The future of that rail line depends on users, because without customers, the rail operations will not be economically suitable or sustainable. The applicant has committed to development of the site and utilization of the rail line. In the comp plan, the county also recognizes the need for rail service In the mobility section of the 2019 comp plan on page 13-10, the plan states that there is a need to consider how to mitigate the impact of truck traffic on other road users and communities that the trucks travel through. And the plan states that one means of reducing truck impact is to shift more freight to rail, although the plan acknowledges that opportunities to do that may be limited. So the opportunities are limited, but this happens to be one location. Our site is the exception to that rule, and that is this location is adjacent to rail and can take advantage of what the intent is of that section. We believe HI1 zoning is appropriate to serve the types of businesses that would utilize rail transportation, which are normally large bulk type of deliveries. Also, the commission knows from various land use applications over the past few years and the past few months that the Route 9 corridor between Georgetown and Five Points is quickly developing. If this parcel is to be rezoned, the time to do it is now. As further development occurs along the Route 9 corridor, it will become more difficult, if not impossible, to obtain this type of zoning, which again is appropriate for rail service. There is a letter in our exhibit book dated December 10th from Cliff Grunstra of the Delmarva Central Railroad stating the railroad's support of our application and the economic opportunities that the rezoning would create. I do have some proposed findings in support of our application, which I will submit to Janelle for your consideration. And for the reasons stated, we believe the location of this parcel is appropriate for the request for rezoning, and we do request your favorable recommendation. And that would conclude our presentation, other than any questions you may have.
Okay, well, let's find out if anybody has any questions for you. Let's see, who are we starting with?
Mr. Hopkins.
Okay, Mr. Hopkins. I can't find my
seems like a reasonable place for industrial to me. I was just reading through what HI1 is.
Well, I wanted to make
it. It's already commercial.
Yes.
So, and it looks, it seems like it's that type of thing all around it.
Well, I recognize that when you hear heavy commercial or heavy industrial, HI1, it sounds very intense, and that's why I wanted to make sure you understood that there are uses permitted. You can read what they are, but if you propose some type of use that is deemed potentially hazardous, there's a whole another level of review you have to go through with the Board of Adjustment and things of that nature. So we believe that, again, to use rail service, it's not the type of thing every business uses. So
yeah, I mean, you got 9 on one side and the railroad on the other. Sorry, I can't come up with any questions.
Sorry, Ms. Stevens?
I don't have any answers.
I have none.
Mr. Mayor?
No.
Zaya?
No, thank you.
Anybody?
No, I just would note the land use is commercial.
Currently.
The land use for the comprehensive plan is commercial.
So that kind of would bring back another question, whether we would ask Mark or you. I mean, how is this... How is this different than Wayne Hudson's piece a mile down the road?
I mean, it's not.
That's the concern.
It's not any different.
Well, I mean, procedurally,
it's different application, but
yeah.
Well, I got that.
Yeah.
I mean,
what we're doing is like on this one and that other one, we got to figure out a way to do just a map amendment, you know, so that it all lines up right. That's all.
Yeah, because you got the railroad there. If there was ever a place for industrial, or buildings and stuff.
Well, that's one of the things we said on the comp plan, wasn't that industrial needed to be near places that had major arteries, rail, water, sewer.
I became aware through Mark of that issue that came up. I wasn't involved in the other thing, so I didn't know anything about it. And when I heard about that, I sent a letter in.
Therein lies the problem.
And, but I'm certainly, if that might be a consideration, I have some comments I'd like to mention about that. But I don't want to, if it's not a question.
Well, I think it's, I think it's a question because it's going to speak to the concept of consistency and so on, the decisions that we make. And if we do something differently, we will have to have some really good reasons. Now, all that being said, I can tell you that there is a need for HI1 land in Sussex County because there isn't any.
Right.
I mean, there's really virtually none. This is in the perfect spot for this. This may very well be an example of where we maybe didn't think things through far enough in the land use plan portion of this, and could certainly justify a changing of the map, because that's what would have to be done. What I know that we didn't want to do is we didn't want to start a parade or a stampede of people wanting to change the land use map every time, you know.
Because that was the whole purpose of the plan,
right,
to start
the whole purpose of the plan. And, you know, and in the absence of a mitigating circumstance, I agree with that. However, I would suggest that there are mitigating circumstances in this case.
And just following that up, and we note that if you go to that table, that 452 table,
right,
that this doesn't list heavy industrial in the commercial area. Although, ironically, in the developing area, which to me is a less intense area, it does list it.
Yeah.
All right. So, and some of the towns have a procedure where they do amendments to their future land use map when they do zoning. And I just suggested that. But without even getting to that, I believe it's not necessary. If you look at the plan itself, it acknowledges in the plan that it's a guide for future use. Okay. So it's not like a statute saying you have to do it. It's a guide. It states future rezoning should generally be consistent with the future land use plan. So it could have said absolutely have to, but be identical. It didn't. It says generally. So there's already some wiggle room. It says that table 4.52 is provided as a tool. Well, a tool to me is something to help you make a decision. It, again, it's not an ironclad statute saying you have to do that. And again, right in this section, it says each land use proposal the county receives should be reviewed on its own merits, which is exactly what I think you're talking about. And that gets us to the point of, you know, what the purpose of the plan is. I have had some discussions with Vince about the issue. If you go to some of the established law, it talks about being trade-offs during the plan to make a decision. And you all know that the plan has lots of goals, and lots of times they're contradictory. You can't preserve agricultural land and provide residential development, you know, on the same piece.
So the same piece of ground.
The whole idea of the plan, that there are trade-offs, and unless it's blatantly outside of the goals of the plan, then it should be upheld. And that's from some legal cases. But again, worst scenario, you set up a mechanism where you actually amend the plan. And it ought to be done at the same time as a zoning application, because you're dealing with both issues. I think I was done, but I guess you were asking questions. It's getting late.
It's starting to get crazy.
Anyone else have any questions for Mr. Fuquay? All right, then. Being none, if you take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone number 1902, John C. Stamato, in care of Rivera Development, LLC? Yes, sir. Mr. Johnson.
See a familiar face.
I hope I can treat you better than some of the other people were.
I have saved the rudest, most arrogant thing I can think of just for you.
Well, I can tell you that Jeb Conaway wishes that you were back there with me on the other side of the wall, because in my past life, there were times when the chairman would have to nudge me because the meetings went on and on and on, and he would nudge me as I started to snore. I really came here tonight just to get information. I really wasn't expecting to say anything, but having heard what I've heard, I thought I needed to stand up and say a few things. Unfortunately, I was out of town on business when the big subdivision came along with Shingle Point Road, and I missed that until I saw it in the paper. But anyhow, I'm a co-owner of the property there at the triangle of Shingle Point Road and Route 9, so that's me. I forget what we call ourselves, Route 9 Enterprises or some fancy name, in that upper little triangle there. Okay. Yep, that's me. I came because I kept hearing about artesian coming down Route 9 and, you know, with water and sewer, and of course that could potentially impact my property, seeing as how when we went to develop that property a few years ago, by the time we got done with our massive stormwater management pond and our mound systems, our Sussex County Hill is what I call them, you know, the septic systems, there wasn't a whole lot left, but still we could still develop that, and I do have a preliminary approval for a 6,000 square foot office building. Anyhow, I think that an example of where maybe the county changed the planning's map goes back a number of years ago, perhaps to the Bakers over in Milton, when they wanted to put in a railway spur, and I think that was changed to probably heavy industrial.
That's the last one. That may be the last one we did.
And that does go back a few years, and they've developed that property nicely. What I like about this particular property is that the area they're developing is back away from Route 9. That still leaves the potential for the owner or someone to do some developing and more of the commercial area on the front side. So being back from the road the way they're proposing makes sense because it's next to the railroad and it's back away off of Route 9, which would perhaps allow for a little safer entering and exiting from there. I did pick up an old habit of reading the 90 pages. Unfortunately, I came here unprepared because I didn't have my sticky notes. And I didn't have my ink pens. So not only could I not put sticky notes on there, I had to fold pages. And but anyhow, one of the things that concern me that the developer will have to be aware of is the runoff of the water. And I know I talked with Mr. Parsons briefly about that outside, but if you look at, it's on page 11 of your environmental assessment. Mark was always real good at hiding stuff back in the towards the end. But I did wake up occasionally from my nap to see that. And it shows the flow of the water from their property to Route 9 and across Route 9. And the reason why it's an issue of concern is we have not been able to find out who built that ditch, which is on our property. You know, we've been to Soil Conservation District, and they said it's not theirs, even though there's a pipe that runs under Route 9, and there's another pipe that runs under Shingle Point Road. Nobody's claiming it.
Nobody claims it.
Nobody claims it. Soil Conservation swears they didn't do it. DelDOT says they don't know anything about it. But it is an issue because of the way that water does back up on the south side of Route 9. So whether, you know, we always talked about how you got to take care of your own water, you know, can't let it go on your neighbor's property, you know, on that sort of thing. Well, I don't know what neighbor that property is going on, that water would be going on, because it would be flowing past us and then across the street and to somewhere. Of course, Soil Conservation District had a nice little plan for us. They said, well, if you want to utilize that ditch for your stormwater management, then you got to do a survey of where that ditch is and where that the final destination. You got to chase the water.
Chase it.
And we said, no, thank you. But anyhow, that's something for you to think about, Mark. Good luck. If you find out who owns it, let us know. In the meantime, we've been trying to take care of the ditch so there's still the flow of the water coming off of our property as well as coming from Route 9. But without, depending upon what development gets done back there and what runoff that might create a bigger issue. Okay. But, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, I think I'm starting to have flash blackbacks, so it's...
Very confusing for me.
All I'm going to say is I'm glad I was on this side, so no, your side. Although I do get a phone call around then, they keep saying, are you back on the commission? I says, no, that's the guy that's there. I says, not only does he have more hair, he has more color and he's better looking than I am.
They are looking more alike, though.
Okay, anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1902? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us. In fact, Mr. Cukwe, we're going to order you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.